Heavenly Father, we bow before you as God the Creator, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the Everlasting, Holy God. We pray, O God, that you will bless the service. Thank you for each and every one who turned up, called by you to be here this morning. May your presence, O Lord, fill their hearts this morning with your truth from your word. And help us, O Lord, that we will understand what you are telling us in your word, and that we will make it part of our lives, that it will change and transform us as disciples of you. We pray, O Lord, that you will prepare each and everyone's heart to receive what you will be sowing today. May you help us, O Lord, with the strength and the help that we will endure the race. In your name, according to your will, and that it will be all for the glory of God. We pray, O Lord, for Dominee Dries, where he will be at Nina today, that you will also bless that gathering for your glory. We pray for our church, O Lord, and our congregation, that you will keep us on our knees humbly before you, O God, and that we will stay true to your word. Help us, O Lord, that we will live accordingly. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Right, we will continue to worship God in song. We will sing a hymn of praise. We can sit for that one. It's hymn 74, verses 1 and 3. Next hymn is a hymn of thanks. It's hymn 7, and we're also going to sing verses 1 and 3. Our hymn before we read the psalm of the day is a hymn of confession. And I would like us to stand that we sing hymn 92, and we are going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. It's a hymn of confession. A psalm that resonates very well with our text of today is Psalm 49, verse 16 and 17. And here the words of wisdom through the psalmist speaks to us, saying, do not be afraid. It means do not worry, do not panic, do not fear when a man becomes rich. When the glory of his house increases, and here is the punchline, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not descend after him. Strong words of warning that me and you should not envy rich people or people that become rich. Let us be content with what God provides for us. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. Let us respond to that psalm. We will stand and we sing a song of worship, hymn 94, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
wonderful words. It's indeed. Life after death is unknown. Unfortunately, there are none of those that passed away coming back to tell us. But one thing is for sure. We know that there is life after death. That is what God promised us. That is what Jesus promised us. He went up to prepare a place for us. And that is one thing we can hold on to. That in Christ we have eternal life, though it is unknown for us. And one thing is for sure, that if He do not return very, very soon, that we will one day die. That's one thing that is absolutely sure in life. Our scripture reading for today is Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. It is the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And then Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." I want to repeat this. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." The two parts in the passage that we can definitely strongly underline is this call by Jesus to us to say that be on your guard against all covetousness, for life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. And then that it is all in vain if we are not rich toward God. So if we look at the passage, what is the problem with this rich fool in the parable? First, it was now started with this man, obviously a younger brother of the older brother, because according to the commandments and the institutions of the Old Testament, the elder brother, he normally inherits the most. And this younger brother was now probably envy about his richer portion of inheritance, and he wanted more of his brother. So we see this drive to just receive more, to get more. And then Jesus told them this parable. The fool in the parable was, in the first place, very much self-centered and ego-centric. For him, it was all about I, me, and myself. I did it, and I did it my way. It is all mine, and I'm going to keep it all for myself. He failed to look past himself. He is typically one of those that are looking towards life, towards what out there, not through a glass, a normal window pane, but he is looking in a glass that is tinted with a layer of silver, because he can only see and think about himself. The foolish man, he ignored his own mortality. He thought that he will still have many, many days to enjoy all the goods and all the riches that he have gathered and that he have stored up in his barns. And then the parable told us that that was not the case. God came to him and said, "Fool, tonight I am going to take your soul." So, death and life is not in our hands, it's in our Creator's hands. And lastly, this fool, he failed to do and to live as prescribed in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, where the Israelites were instructed to keep a portion of their field for the foreigners and the visitors, and that they should look after the elderly and especially after the widows, after the poor. It is always God's heart. It is part of God's nature. It is part of God's love for his world that everybody be taken care of. The problem is, my dear brother and sister, if we drive in the roads and we see these guys sitting on the street and they are begging, it's very easy to say, yeah, they are lazy. They don't want to work. Just get up and go work and earn your money and then you can buy your food that you need. It's easy for us to judge. I can remember many, many years ago when I was not saved yet. And I was driving through the streets of Windhoek, and you see these guys sitting on the streets begging. I had that attitude to say, stand up, man, go get yourself a job, work. Don't just sit here. I'm working for my money. And then I can remember that after my fire baptism, and I gave my life to Christ, and I had the fire baptism, and God removed everything that I have owned. I have lost. I have shared that story with you in the past. During that time, I can remember when I was then driving through the streets of Windhoek, I could look those guys in the eyes and say, I'm like you, I don't have anything. I've got nothing. I could associate me with them, not having anything. I think as parents sitting here, you will probably agree with me that if you had children, let's say three children, and you are living here in Namibia, but they are living far away in Australia, would it not be a blessing to your heart and peace to your heart and comfort to your heart if you were living here in Windhoek and you know that your three children there in Australia, as brother and sisters, they are looking after one another. They care for one another. And you don't have to sit and worry if there are trouble with one of them, because you know that the other brother or sisters will look after them, will care for them, and will take care of the situation. That is how the Father heart of God is working. God looks down on earth and he sees us as the church, as Christians, as the family of God, as brother and sisters. And what more would be pleasing to God to know that God can say, yes, my children are looking after one another. So what is life then all about? If life is not about self-centeredness and being egoism, about gathering material wealth, if that is not life, if that is not pleasing to God, if that is not to the honor and the glory of God, then what is life? What is it supposed to be? Here's a couple of pointers for us how to apply today's passage. We need to prioritize our relationship with God and focus rather on spiritual wealth and spiritual growth. Let us not fall into the trap of material wealth. We need to align our actions to God's will. Brother and sister, we can do a lot of things on this earth out of our own. There's a very uncomfortable passage in the Bible where people will on the day of judgment stand before the throne of God and they will say, God, we have driven out demons in your name. We have done this in your name. And God will tell them, I don't know you. I don't know you. So what we are doing, and we had a sermon on that, remember the cross. There are two legs. The vertical one is the longest one. It is the pillar of the cross. And that is the vertical relationship between you and God. That needs to be in place first. You need to experience God's love first. You need to understand the Father heart of God first. Then we can put the shorter arm on the cross, the horizontal one, where you then take that love and that will of God and you share that love with your neighbor, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So not only do we need to help those in need with money, we always think about money, but it is also about time. It's about talent. It's about service. Many of the time, these people, all they want is they want a listening ear. Just someone to hear their story and to share their story. It is not always money. So let us help those that are in need and find contentment with what one has. Thirdly, to live a life that reflects God's love and God's compassion. It is that vertical arm of the cross. If that is strong in place, other people will see the genuine love in you. Humility is the fourth point. If we do not recognize that all blessings comes from God and that we do not take credit for one's own wealth, like this foolish rich man, he said, I did it. It's all mine. And it's for myself. Without recognizing that his strength and his help and that his blessings are coming from God, not from himself. So humility. Next, making God's will a priority in one's life. and that we will continue to seek guidance through prayer, through scripture, and spiritual leaders, and that is part of this service this morning. You are here to receive a bit of teaching so that you can be transformed, so that you can be renewed in the teachings of God and understand what His Word really means, and that you start applying that in your life. So instead of denying Himself, He aggressively actually affirmed Himself. And instead of finding His happiness in giving, He tried to conserve it by keeping it. So in summary, brothers and sisters, if you take God out of the picture, if you take God out of the good, if you take God out of what is yours, then nothing is left. It's all in vain. So let us keep company with God, and we learn to live a life of love. Jesus is the best example to us. He didn't love us to get anything in return from us. No. He left the heavenly places. He left His heavenly throne to come to earth, to be humiliated, to be hanged on a cross, to shed His blood. Why? Because He loved. Because of His love for me and you. Brothers and sisters, we need to love like that. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, his rule of life was that he will save all he could save, but also that he will give all that he could give to others. Our passage of today says that self-centeredness is foolish. Death is waiting on all of us. In Luke 12, verse 31, the Word of God is saying that seek first the kingdom of God, and then all else will be added. Romans 12, verse 1 calls for spiritual discipline, that we rather seek and strive for spiritual wealth and spiritual growth. Matthew 6, verse 21 says, your heart will be where your possessions are. And the question to ask today is, where is our treasure? Is our treasure here on earth, or is our treasure in heaven? Because if it's in heaven, then our heart will be in heaven. I've got a short little video for us, only 2 minutes. It's a bit laughing and joking, but it has a very, very prominent story for you, and I hope that this video will keep you to remember today's sermon. Let's listen to that short little video.
It with blindfolded, a person can't walk in a straight line.
Huh?
Nonsense. A person can truly walk.
Bicycle one will work. I mean, all you need to do is just keep your arm straight, you know. Doesn't work. Brothers and sisters, our passage for today is very simple. If we allow the world to blindfold us, to put a layer of silver on the window, we will not reach our call, our purpose, and our mission in Christ. We will miss our reference point. We will miss our aim. Let us not allow material wealth to blindfold us, and then we miss our aim. Today, our passage has taught us, we now know, you and I now know, that it is not good to be blindfolded. And we now know what to do, not to be blindfolded. So in conclusion, the how, the what, and the whom that we are looking at, it's all about the attitude of our heart. If our heart is right, then our worldview will also change according to God's will. It calls for a real relationship with God, to live in and out of God's love and not our own, to look beyond ourselves. Our treasure is in God, not in material wealth. If we do that, it will be all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to learn from your word in this simple, short parable in the Bible. And we pray, O Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts today, that it was sowed in good soil, that it will grow and that it will bear many fruit. May our lives be changed from today going forward. Lord, help us that we will commit to live according to your word and that we will be transformed, that we will have a new worldview, a new outlook, that we will see the world as you see the world through your eyes of love. May you help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, it's now time for our offering. Our Heavenly Father, our sermon today was about material wealth. And here we have the offering from the congregation. We pray, O Lord, we thank every hand and every heart that was giving this morning. We pray, O Lord, that you will multiply this in your kingdom through good stewardship. May you help us, O Lord, to apply this according to your will in your kingdom. We thank you, we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, our closing hymn is hymn 95, and we are going to sing verses 1 and 5. Children of God, may God the Father prepare your journey in a straight line. May Jesus the Son guide your footsteps towards our aim. May the Spirit of life strengthen your body, and that the three-in-one God watch over you on every road that you may follow. Amen.